Welcome to The Family Business.
It's a podcast about episodes of the show Supernatural.
Today we're on Season 1, Episode 18, Something Wicked This Way Comes.
I'm Tammy. I'm the mom.
I'm Erica. I'm the first daughter.
I'm Jasmine. I'm the second daughter.
Previously on Supernatural.
Mm-mm. What about spoilers, Erica?
Oh, yeah, that's true. We don't have spoilers. We might talk about previous episodes, you know, previously on Supernatural, but we won't talk about episodes in the future.
We'll spoil the past, but we won't spoil the future.
Yeah, so when you listen, we're assuming that you've already watched the previous episodes. Just a heads up. If you haven't, maybe go back and listen to the earlier ones. We do pretty well at, like, recounting everything that happens on the episode, but, I don't want to ruin stuff for people, so.
So where are we? We're in Fitchburg, Wisconsin.
Is that a real place?
I have no idea. I didn't look it up.
I don't know, but.
I didn't look it up either. I'll look it up later.
Strange name.
Fitchburg. Creepy kid and creepy prayers. That's what's in my notes.
That's exactly what I have.
That's not what I have. I have little girl praying, creepy dad watching from the doorway.
Two kinds of people.
Are you a creepy girl or a creepy dad kind of person?
I think the kid was creepy.
Yeah. I thought she was adorable.
Especially the way she was cute, opened it up.
Like, the opening, yeah, that's always...
How it, like, just shows the house and the creepy kid.
I thought the dad was creepy because he was just lurking while she was saying her prayers. And
I mean,
like,
he was creepy, too, don't get me wrong, but...
He was at the doorway just,
started,
like,
with the creepy girl.
Staring at her.
And, you know what... Do you guys know what he called her?
Yes, Monkey Puss.
Why?
You don't listen.
You don't use the subtitles. That's why.
Also, I caught a bunch of extra stuff in the subtitles that wasn't said.
It was because there was like background TVs on.
Is that what it was? You knew what I was talking about too, huh? Because it was kind of weirding me out. I was like, what? Is there like some ghost whispering going
some
on?
Some weird code.
I know what you're talking about, but it was like there were like TVs on.
I'm gonna laugh so hard right now. Puss. Is someone's face.
Uh-uh.
Yes, no, it is.
It's the vagina.
That's not what I heard.
Sourpuss?
Is rotten vagina.
No. That's a puss is somebody's face. And so, I didn't say pussy. I said puss. So, monkey puss is monkey face.
No.
Yes.
Either way, that's still weird.
You children are educated. Like, you should know this. Like, this
who
is not...
says puss?
Where would that have come up in my education, mother?
Oh, yes.
In all of the books.
In anthropology?
You
see the monkey puss.
It's more of a more old-fashioned term, but you guys have read, like, literature.
When we talk about GG rubbing? Mm-hmm. Monkey puss. That's, you don't remember that documentary?
You guys are like educated, not just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
We don't know slang from the 1800s. I don't know when.
I don't think it's that far back. But.
We don't know what Shakespeare called his
vagina.
Well, I do, and it was monkey puss. And persquale, or whatever the last word was that he said in the other episode. Persnapple.
Perskeeter.
Persqueeter.
Persqueeter.
Is that it?
Persqueeter.
Persqueet.
Persqueety. Oh, excuse
Squeety
me.
Bird.
Excuse me, Persqueety. You little monkey puss.
Why do they say such weird things in this show?
It was horrible. I was horrified. I had to pause and just stare. Why would he call her that?
That's the first thing I said.
That is so offensive.
Persqually.
I've been there before.
Pasquale.
Okay.
So, then we find out, the little girl says, is mommy coming home? And I was like, what? Did the mom run away from home?
I was
home?
Like, did she murder her?
I thought she was dead.
So did I. But then we found out, no, she's at the hospital with the sister. Mm-hmm. And so, the mom's fine. It's the other daughter that's sick.
Yeah, it is.
Toast?
I think so. Toast or baby.
So then the dad decides to leave the kid in the spooky room.
Well, I think it's her room, so I think that's where she goes.
No. So they're both upset, right? The sister's in the hospital. The mom's not there. The kid's probably stressed. And she doesn't look super old. Like, she looks like maybe 7 or 8.
Right.
So, in my mind, I'd be like, do you want me to sleep on the floor? Do you want me to stay in here with you until you fall asleep? Or whatever, at least until they fall asleep. But the dad's just like, bye!
See ya!
Finally, me time.
Me as a parent. I just want to take a moment to comment that in both of the children's rooms that we see...
Uh-huh.
I was horrified by their curtains.
I have written down too, and I don't know if it's the same thing, but I have a comment about the curtains as well.
They were white, see-through curtains.
They're called shears.
They were, I don't know if they were shears.
That's what Shakespeare called his curtains.
Thank you for letting me know.
So I thought that was what scissors were called.
They were sheer curtains.
Oh, sorry, S-H-E-E-R.
Not S-H-E-A-R.
Yes. And normally they're like under or in between.
I thought that they were like silk, but just a thin
silk. They kind of are. They're like a...
Not all the way see-through.
Yes. More of a like a mesh.
They're like a sheer... I don't know what kind of fabric, like a...
Not quite mesh.
Lightweight sheer fabric is, like, what I would say. And what they're designed to be, like, a daylight kind of curtain.
Which, I know
like
that.
Like a daytime.
But that was all they had.
Which, I will say, it was a second story window. So,
well,
there's
it's
not...
It's a child's bedroom.
There's not people looking through. Normally, curtains are to prevent people from...
You can still see, though, from
like,
outside.
Like, seeing in or whatever. Yeah, but who's up there? No one's seeing it. Like...
If you're across the street, I think you could see it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I get what you're saying because I was horrified too, but I was horrified because they leave the curtains open at night.
Exactly. That was my next thing that I was going to say.
I don't, like...
Although it doesn't really make much of a difference if the curtains are sheer.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they just use them to, like, diffuse the light. It's like sometimes it's like a style choice.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Which they look nice, don't get me wrong, but... It's not an appropriate choice.
Oh,
well, like.
And also it adds to the just
the
whole
which,
yeah,
that's the reason they did it, I'm sure.
The thicker the curtains are, they're not going to blow in the wind.
And you're not going to see something
coming through, yeah.
Like, you know, through it, like build the suspense.
Yeah.
Why are there so many people driving 100 miles an hour down our street right now with really loud cars?
Probably just the same one car over and over again.
God, we live
by going around the
blocks.
So then the creepy hand sneaks in.
Before the creepy hand, I have one comment to make.
Okay.
Right before the creepy hand, the little girl looks and then she runs over to the window and I forget even
she
what
pulled
she
the curtain.
This is what I was talking about
and
in
then
the last
done,
episode.
I literally still do this and I'm 47 years old.
This is what I was saying, how everyone walks so slow and I was like, I would run so fast.
Yes.
I would be this little girl.
Yes. I am this little girl.
Yeah,
I still do this when
exactly.
I go to the bathroom down a dark hallway at night. I literally move as quick as I can.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's just the anxiety. That's just, you don't do that? When you when you're like, oh man, I got in bed and I didn't get my phone and the room's dark and you're like,
I just turn my light on. It's right behind my bed.
I have to touch the floor as little as possible, so I do, like, I don't know if this is the anxiety or the OCD, but I have to do, like, one step on the floor, grab whatever, and then spin, not another step, but spin and dive into the bed, because that's less contact.
Well, plus, yeah, the less you touch the floor, the less scary it is.
Yeah.
The only time I'll ever do something similar to that is if I'm pulling clothes out of the dryer and I get the static. Then I'm like, oh shit.
I'm gonna shock
myself, so I'll use my forearm and I'll press it to metal real quick.
I just use my hand.
Not really that similar.
But that's the only
thing. I thought she was going somewhere else. I thought she was gonna say, I just grab the clothes real fast and I run back in.
No, that's all I'll do.
Alright.
That's as close as I get.
Must be so strange to not have anxiety.
I don't know what it's like.
Well, I have anxiety, just not the same as you.
Must be so strange to not have been born with anxiety.
Yeah, that I don't get. But good for you.
Hey, yeah.
I do hurry through tests. Does that count?
I think maybe.
Yeah. That's just where I don't.
Because, like, sometimes I don't even remember any questions.
Also, you drive really.
A, B, C, D, A, B, B.
Oh, I never remember the questions on my test.
Oh, okay.
And I will say, your anxiety is very obvious when you drive, because you do it really fast. And, like, anything fast like that is anxiety.
Anytime you get upset, you speed up.
And so that's, like...
Whether or not it's related to the driving.
I drive like normal.
So, okay, go ahead now. Hand.
It's just a spooky hand. That's all I got.
It is a spooky hand.
Mm-hmm. And it's even spookier because it, like... Is it a tree branch or is it a hand? And...
Oh, no, it was a hand. You could tell.
But, like...
At first, you couldn't, though. It looked like twigs.
And it was like, is that... Oh, no, that's getting more defined.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a hand. And I will say, if you haven't listened to our last episode of the pod, please go back and listen.
Was it the last one? Might have been two.
If there are episodes of this podcast that you haven't listened to, please go listen to all of them right now.
Because we tell a lot of stories.
And one of the stories that I told was about my... a shadowy ghost hand experience, and it looked almost exactly like this hand in this episode.
Because not as rigid, huh?
Right. It was more fluid and smoky looking.
But it was like the same exact...
Yeah. Yeah. Same idea, and it was like...
Uh-huh. What was it called? Maybe you're getting Strigged.
Strigoth. Nona. Striganona.
What's that?
I like that book.
That's a witch. That's what I call this witch, because I can't remember the name.
Say it again?
Strega Nona.
And this is Striga? So it might be the same.
Oh, I'm sure it's the same.
It might come from the same.
Because it's...
Because it was saying...
It was an
old lady.
Yeah.
Old lady witch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is she Albanian?
Yeah. Or Russian? Maybe? I don't remember. Something like that. They're not even close, but, you know, whatever.
Somewhere that way.
Considered a folk tale.
I'm really bad at geography, you guys. Don't come for me.
We can't be good at everything. Like, you have good stuff, you know? There's some stuff you're, like, an expert.
Ooh, I'm an expert. Uh-huh. What am I an expert on?
Socks? You love socks.
Yeah, I would say I'm an expert.
Maybe who knows how to wear socks better than you?
True, I do like to cover my feet as much as possible.
I would say nobody.
Sock wearing expert.
Put that on a trophy and let's give it to her.
Okay.
Best sock wearer in the
house.
Can it be
Dobby?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Looking up Striganona.
Don't do that.
I don't have time. I don't have time for that.
Okay, you don't have time for that. We'll get back to it.
The monster gets her. She's been gotten.
So do we see the witch at this point?
No.
We do. We see...
The Striga?
We see the shadowy figure over her, and then we see a shiny eye.
Okay, but we don't see, like, super up close.
And I think we might see the mouth.
I didn't see, like, facial features. I just saw an eye.
I will say... this whole character strongly reminded me of a Buffy monster.
It reminded me...
A specific one.
Which one?
It reminded me, too, of a...
Is it okay to say without it spoiling?
I don't want to give spoilers to Buffy.
Okay.
But I will say it's from when she goes to college.
Okay. Have I seen it?
I have no idea.
So you thought it looked masculine at first?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I thought that the whole time. Struggled. Does it have to be? Is it always feminine?
No. They thought... This is getting ahead, but they say it's the doctor, and he's a dude.
So. I thought it looked like a man from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Plus, they said it can shapeshift.
Oh. Well, there you go. There you go.
So, then we go to Sam and Dean.
Wait.
Ah! Surprise!
Not yet!
I would just like to mention that at this point is when the title comes up.
Uh-huh.
At the bottom of the screen.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I noticed it just said something wicked.
That's when I noticed.
But when I Google it, it's Google says something wicked this way comes.
Yeah. So I was so confused for a while because on Netflix, where I'm watching it, it says something wicked this way comes. But then on the little screen, it said something wicked. And I was like, did they change the name after or something? I was really confused.
That's when I didn't know either, when I saw it. And I was like,
Yeah.
Have I been calling it the wrong thing? And then, like, I just wrote something wicked because either way, that's right.
Yeah.
But only one way is it missing something more. So I just left it.
So that's it. I just wanted to mention my confusion there. Continue.
So now we're with Sam and Dean.
Yeah, we are.
And in the car!
We find out our good friend, John Winchester, sent them some coordinates. And...
Does it have to be a mystery? I'm new to this show. No. I'm sorry if I don't know how it works.
No, he's just an ass.
He's just like, cryptic as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, does it always have to be where they have to try to crack a code?
There's and
like,
literally no reason for it.
It's not an escape room. I guess it makes more interest or whatever, but I'm like, they always spend so much time trying to figure out, what's Dad trying to say? Why did he do this? Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe we're not supposed to be here. Like, eliminate, it would seem that time is of the essence here.
Mm-hmm. Like, also, though, I think that it would be weird if, say, they lost their phone, or somebody got their phone, and found all these texts where it's like, look for this weird shit going on in Pittsburgh.
Yeah!
I mean, maybe they're
all these kids are in the hospital. Like, that
they
would
didn't
be
even
weird.
Tell them that, though.
That's why I asked, because maybe. I'm like, okay, does he think that somebody might try to get this information, or, like, is there, like, some
Which
kind of...
maybe, I mean...
Russian hacking going on here to
no,
try to...
before that.
Oh, okay.
I think he just errs on the side of caution.
And okay. Also, he just seems like he's not very in tune with them.
He's not very communicative.
Yeah, and so, like, we find out later how much this one means to Dean, but he says they had never talked about it since.
Yeah.
So maybe he just didn't know how to bring it up, you know? And instead he's just like, yeah, go here. It's fine. You'll figure it out.
You know what to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't now, you will.
I don't know how he just knew they would figure that out. I mean, that's pretty specific. Even, we'll get to it.
So, one of my favorite quotes up until this point is
I knew it.
They go, something in Fitchburg is worth killing. Because, I mean,
oh,
that's kind of harsh. Like,
it's probably true, though. There's probably, like,
that was your favorite?
Not the whole episode, up until this
but
part.
But that, of this part, that's your favorite?
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be, that's hilarious. There's a two-sentence quote there. Do you know what the next sentence is? So Dean says, there must be something worth killing, and then he also says, Sam asks him, well, why? He says, well, because I'm the oldest, and that means I'm always right.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that's the part you were going to like, because you're the oldest, and I thought you were going to be like, Well, I'm the oldest, because I like that, because I'm the oldest.
And I'm so not always right. I know, like, I'm not.
She knows I'm usually right.
And I know I'm not always right either, but it's nice to be able to have a quote to say.
I wouldn't say that May's usually right
either. Oh, no, I wouldn't either.
Definitely not.
What?
I think Eris has most of the things figured out.
No.
Way more than you.
Definitely not.
I think, yeah.
No.
So.
I have something to say about this little car ride that they're on right now. They pass a sign, and it says Fitchburg. And then it has, like, a little motto, you know, like
they do. I just saw the population one.
I have the population one, but right next to it was, like, a colorful billboard, had families on it and shit. It said, Fitchburg, a place to call home. And then I was like, oh, place to call home. Isn't anywhere a place to call home? And I was like, that is, like, such a terrible slogan. Like, that's the best you got, a place to call home.
Let's be honest, though, they're usually bad slogans. For a town.
Cardboard box, a place to call home. Like, anywhere is a place to call home. If you live there, that's your home. Call it home. These people, I tell ya.
These people. So, Dean goes in. I think he comes out with coffee.
Yeah.
And the waitress says the local Freemasons are up to something sneaky, but that's it. And, like, that made me laugh. Cause
that
part was
funny.
I want to know what the sneaky thing the Freemasons are doing is. Like, can we get
past the whole story, buddy. What are you doing? Back up.
Go back.
Okay, this part creeped me out. This whole part creeped me out.
Yeah, because, okay, first of all, what are the odds they're just going to be hanging out by a park, and then notice that the kids are gone, which, let's be fair, there were still some people there. Like, it was completely empty. No, it was a park.
It was a park.
And then, Creepy Dean comes up, just starts...
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
I will say, even before this part, like, Dean always creeps me out. I just think he does creepy things.
The park.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And I will say I cut him a lot of slack because of who he is, but if it were anyone else, I would be like, oh my god, I'm calling the police. You're literally lurking at a child across, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. And so I was like, and then it gets weirder.
When Dean comes up to the single mother
and
starts talking about children.
I'm a single mom. I always have been, pretty much. I have my children at the park plenty of times. If a man...
Oh, talk about beach dude.
Oh my god. If a man comes up to me and makes a comment about children at the park, and he doesn't have one?
Yeah.
And he's just, like, hanging out, I'm calling the fucking police on you. I don't care if you call me a Karen. I don't care what that means about me. I don't care. It's weird, it's creepy, and dude, you
are
a
stalker. Or at the very
least,
you're, like, kind of watching and trying to get
something
away.
Something is odd. All the hairs on my neck are standing up at this point, because that is weird. Don't do that.
Exactly.
I don't care if you're just trying, no, I'm not doing anything weird. I'm trying to ask her on a date, and I'm just awkward or whatever. Just don't.
Yeah.
Just don't involve parks or schools or children. Because I'll never get that out of my mind. You were the weird, creepy guy that was lurking at the kids at the park, and I'm not dating you or anything.
Talking to you.
No, get away from me. Ah! Stranger danger!
Offers up all this information.
Yeah, psycho.
It was weird.
Man, I'm realizing that we have a lot of issues, I think.
Nah, we're fine.
I feel fine.
I feel like, I don't know if that is the norm to think that that's creepy, or what's the default, to think that's creepy, or to think, what,
I think most people would think it was weird, but
not call the cops.
Yeah.
Because literally you could
go either
way.
Well, I wouldn't call the cops, there's nothing to report.
And I wouldn't either, I was just being dramatic, but I would be like...
I think it would depend on what was said to me, and how...
Well, yeah, he's lurking. Not saying, I want to take some children.
Yeah, well, no, they don't have to just flat out say that, but I'm saying how lurky they're being,
mm-hmm.
and how lingering they're staring at things, like, body language would go a long way.
And also, you know what I'm thinking? I've listened to way too many true crime podcasts and watched too many documentaries and stuff. Because if this was happening to me, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I know there's not really a reason to call the cops, but if I do call the cops and report this weird lurker guy...
They'll have record of it.
They'll have record of it, and then if something happens, or if something's already happened that I don't know about to a child in this neighborhood, because I've listened to so many podcasts...
See, okay, so that happened the other day. I forgot to tell you guys. I was driving home after taking May to work, and there was a bike, like a nice bike, just abandoned on the side of the road.
See?
And I was like... That's weird.
It is
like,
weird.
It wasn't broken from what I could tell. I didn't get out of the
car. You did tell me about this.
I might have, but I was like, that's really weird. So then I just called the cops and I was like, hey, I don't see anything wrong technically, but there's this really nice bike and it's just abandoned.
Yes.
And like the wheel was still spinning.
Yes. See?
And so I was like, and it's just, I would want to make sure maybe somebody stole it and then had second thoughts.
Maybe somebody kidnapped the person, kid off that bike on their way to school or
I was like, just to be safe, I want you guys to check it out. I just saw it. So, and they were like, okay, we'll send someone.
Also, I will say it doesn't just speak to my trauma and my paranoia and my obsession with true crime, but also it speaks to my, like, my love for investigative skills too, because like when you see that and like, okay, so the cops could be like, oh my God, some weird lady called and was just like report a bike laying on the ground. But that gets in the hands of the right cop. Right. And he's like, wait, what? That's weird. Yeah. Let's go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he goes and while he's on his way, they get a call. Hey, officer so-and-so, we be on the lookout for a kid. He didn't make it to school. Nobody knows where he's at. He's riding an orange bike.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit. It's an orange bike. Okay. Well, now he's, like, two steps ahead of the game because he's already at the bike. Now he can go to the gas station across the street and get the video surveillance and see who took the kid. You know, like, just it's
cuts down on time.
Exactly. So, yeah, it could go either way, but I don't know.
And I just think that reporting is always better than not if you're...
Not sure.
If you're unsure.
Yes, because so many of those documentaries and podcasts are, like, especially with the Golden State Killer. Yeah, I saw something, but
I didn't think much of
it. Was just really weird, and so I was just like, what am I going to call for? Just say, and then sometimes people did call and were like...
Or like, I just have a bad feeling.
Do you remember the guy who called and he was like, I found a ski mask, a pair of gloves, some duct tape, and a hammer in the bushes by my house. And this is when it was like the serial killer, the Golden State Killer, was like
at large.
Rampage. Yeah. Like, they had no clues. They didn't know what was going on. And the cop was like, or the lady was like, we'll have the cops call you back. And so they called back and they were like, what are we going to do with all that stuff? And he was like, well, I don't know. Like, I thought maybe you it could investigate. Like, it's
fingerprints or something.
Some kind of, like, maybe he had there's hairs on it or something. If he had the ski mask on his head, like, maybe you could get something there. Like, no, it's useless. Just throw it away. Literally all the evidence that they could have used to link him to that crime, and they threw it away. And the cops told him to. So, not trying to bash cops. I'm not trying to blame anybody.
And everybody makes bad calls sometimes in that way, I guess. But I think that it's always better to just be like, okay, well, yeah, maybe it's not useful right now, but it could be, like, at some point.
And I think he said he saved it for a long time, but then he just ended up throwing it away. And eventually somebody did contact him to see if he still had it. And he said, no, they told me to throw it away, and I threw it away.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So, after the park, okay, we see...
Oh, this park.
We see Sam and Dean walking into the hospital, right?
This made me think. Okay. This whole episode made me think of me and you.
Yeah. Well, that's happening. That happened last time, too.
Yes. Go figure. It's like we're siblings or something. But, this is totally something. You would have given me that ID, and I would have...
And you'd freak out.
Yeah, you would have freaked out so bad.
And I'd
be
like, no, it's fine.
Yeah. And I'd be like, oh my God.
I'm going to be busted. They're going to know I'm a bikini inspector.
But I would have made it say, package handler.
And she's going to be like,
What? There's a legitimate thing called a package handler.
Like, I would have picked something that could be, like...
innuendo.
Yeah, innuendo, but still pretty close to, like, something that could be done. But
still not related to the job at all that he's trying to do.
I work for the CDC and I inspect and bikinis then, for diseases.
When she asked to see it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I was so nervous. Like...
And then the party covers up as this picture.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
That's weird.
Make sense.
So they're on their way to the pediatrics ward, and Dean sees that creepy old lady.
Yep.
Which, yes, they does. Make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
But it's just an old lady. So...
With an upside down cross on her wall.
Oh, yeah, true. It does, but I didn't notice that at first.
It does look suspicious.
Like, how did that get spun like that?
Maybe it was the Striga.
Get the scent off of him.
One could say the devil.
The devil made him do it. So they're talking to... Are they talking to Heidecker yet?
Yes. They meet with the doctor.
And they find out that it's been 6 cases in 5 weeks.
Yeah, and they're talking to him and the nurse.
And they say they think it's pneumonia, but they're not responding to antibiotics. And their white blood cell count keeps dropping.
And then the kids' immune systems just aren't fighting it.
And it's working its way through families, right? Like, one kid after the other. Then they ask if they could interview the kids. And guess what? They're all unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So they talk to the parent. They ask to talk to parents, but there's only one parent that they talk to.
Yeah, I was like, where the hell's the mom in this whole episode?
Yeah, maybe they just didn't cast the mom.
I'm sure.
Maybe she's really dead like we suspected all
along.
Oh,
yeah.
He said it in a weird way.
He did. And he was creepy.
Guess what, little girl? Mommy's not at the hospital.
Maybe she is.
Maybe. In the laundry chute.
In the laundry chute?
Yeah, that's where you hide a body in the hospital, I think.
Oh.
Not that I know.
I had no idea.
I'm not confessing to anything here. I'm just saying.
So, we find out that Mary is the sister of the girl we saw at the beginning. And the girl we saw at the beginning is Bethany. And now they're both sick. And in a coma. They say that they think it's pneumonia because they left the window open. I sleep with my window open every night. And while this is California...
I was going to say, but this isn't Wisconsin.
And not Wisconsin.
Oh, maybe pneumonia spores exist... on the outside of windowsills in Wisconsin. And so when you leave your window open, they blow in at night.
Oh.
And then...
And also, they got it within 24 hours of each other. Like, that's pretty quick.
That is very quick.
So then, they go to their house. Mary and Bethany and the dad and the mom.
Which at this point... I'm just going to stop pointing out ridiculousness. Because I just have to accept it. They just know. How did they know where they live?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they asked him for his ID.
I'm not showing nobody my ID.
They're from the CDC.
Says who?
Says
the bikini inspector.
Says them and the doctor.
Yeah, I ain't trusting that.
So,
they, why would they need to see an ID, though? That wouldn't make any sense.
And not only that, but my ID doesn't have my correct address on it.
But also, they knew his name, so it's probably easy to look up.
Whatever. I just accept it as, okay, whatever, magic.
So they're scanning with their little EVP things and nothing's coming up. But then, Sam finds the creepy handprint in the window.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Dean gets a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
In this whole flashback, the most horrible part was the shoot first, ask questions later part.
Yeah. But that, I mean, I can kind of get it, though.
I get it, but what if it's, like, house cleaning?
Or what if it's the dad?
Yeah.
Friendly fire. Like, I don't know. But the most horrifying to me is that he's treating this child like an adult.
Yeah.
And so, you can kind of see where...
Dean gets his issues.
Dean's problems are originating.
Mm-hmm.
So then Dean says, I know why Dad sent us here. He's faced us before and wants us to finish the job. And Sam's like, I know this isn't the whole story.
And I would like to point out that during Dean's flashback, Sam was watching Thundercats. Which was an awesome cartoon, and I used to watch that as well.
Wait, he was watching Thundercats while they're in the house?
Oh, no, in the flashback.
Little Sam was watching Thundercats. Okay. I was like, what?
Yeah, Little Sam was watching Thundercats in the flashback, and I was like, oh, hey, I used to watch Thundercats, too.
So they pull up to the hotel, and they continue their story about the Striga. And Dean says that their dad hunted one in Fort Douglas, Wisconsin, about 16 or 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, maybe Striga's only like Wisconsin.
That one, at least.
Yeah.
Because it was the same one.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But yeah, so then he goes to check into the hotel, and the kid is up there, and you can tell immediately that he's like, oh, this kid's like me.
Uh-huh.
So that was cute. That was like a good little...
Yeah, it was
symmetry cute. Thing they had.
What about when they go, king or two queens?
Yeah.
Two queens. Yeah, I bet.
And then when the mom comes in and the kid goes, two queens. Get a load of these two queens.
That was funny. And I like how the jokes about being gay don't get to Dean or Sam.
Right.
Yep.
I also want to say, I had the shirt that the mom was wearing.
I didn't notice it.
The exact shirt. Go back and watch it. It's brown.
Uh-huh.
Short sleeve. And it has light blue stripes across it. And it has a little blue, like, daisy flower.
Mm.
So 90s it hurts. Mm-hmm. Like.
You had that shirt?
Not 90s. 2000s. Mm. Early 2000s. Is that when this was?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it was right on target. Probably bought that shirt at the same place. I don't know.
So then Dean has another flashback.
It's happening a lot this episode.
I mean, mm-hmm. We all know at this point he's got to have and PTSD. Because
this, is, yeah. This is the part that really reminded me of you and me. Of when...
Yep.
They were in the hotel room. Because, you know, we were always in hotel rooms.
There was a little bit of time where we were, but...
And sometimes our house, I guess, looked like a hotel room. I don't know. We had a pretty small house sometimes.
But, yeah. And so, they're alone, like we often were, because Mom was at work. And then, Dean makes some food. He's like, I don't want this.
But, yes, and also, what does he call them?
Skittios.
He calls them, hang on, I wrote it down, Scabettios.
Yeah.
Scabettios. He calls them Scabettios, and I thought that was so cute.
And the thing for me, though, I always ask you specifically what you want.
Yes, so did he. And that's what cracked me up, because he goes, I don't want Scabettios. And then Dean goes, you asked for them.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I don't want them anymore. I want Lucky Charms. And then Dean throws them in the trash. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he could have ate those.
But those in the fridge. That's a snack.
But yeah, and then he gave him the last of the Lucky Charms.
That's when it really reminded me of you guys.
I know. Except
you would have never denied her the Lucky Charms in the first place.
Yeah.
You would have never, but it was...
Well, she might have, at first, she might have been like, well, yeah, but I wanted some.
I don't think she would have even said that to you.
I would have told Mom later, hey, we're out of Lucky Charms, can we get some next time?
And she would have, I think she would have thought that. You would have done that. That's where it got to be
I know.
But I mean, you would have... tried to hide, oh, there's only one bowl of Lucky Charms left, let me hide that. So that she doesn't ask for those. And then if she would have said, are there any Lucky Charms, you would have been like, no, there's none. And then she would have been like, I saw them, and you were like, okay, fine, yes, there are, but I haven't had any yet, and those are mine. And then it switched back again because you wouldn't have given them to her. Mm-hmm. But then she would have given them to you. Yeah. So that's why it, like, kind of switches sometimes with you guys. System kicked in and now you're better. Well, I don't know about better, but you don't have the reactions.
I think that's what fried my nose.
It could be.
Okay, so...
In the motel room, Sam's researching.
Start over.
So now they're in the hotel room, and Sam is researching the Striga.
That's how they say the Striga.
Okay. Finds out that they're Albanian and that they're legends that date back to ancient Rome. They feed on the breath of life, the life force or the essence, and that they can feed on anything, but they prefer children probably because the life force is stronger.
Also because it's creepier.
And yeah, scarier. And
yeah.
Who wouldn't want to go for the creep factor if they already this creature?
Yeah.
Like, it just makes sense, like, when you would think of that, if they would have not put it as children, I think I would have been like, why don't they go for children? Like, that's stronger. Just because that's...
They have, like, more life to take.
And it's, like, more of a robbing of innocence and, like...
Plus, it's easier.
Causes more pandemonium.
And plus, I'm a big fan of, like, legends and lores of, like, witches and stuff. And they always eat children, so it just makes sense. And then we find out, dun-dun-dun, you can't kill them with anything. They're invulnerable to all weapons devised by God and man. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, shit, what are they going to do? What can they
they
got to
find a weapon that's not made by man or God?
Who can make something that's not those things? I
get something that's made from a stick.
I had it all wrong. I had it all wrong. I thought there's going to launch into some elaborate thing about how you have to, like, search for some certain thing that kills it that's only... it has to be the certain stone or whatever.
Only available here.
Yeah, and it was made by some weird
anti-struggle. And he's like, nah, that's wrong.
Yeah, and so I was like, because...
Which, how did the dad find that out?
I don't know. But I thought, like, it was going to be like...
Sam is a really good researcher up until this point.
Some kind of emerald, like... nature made
way to shine sunlight on it, and it, like, found burst in a cave. It into flame.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's gonna be a process here,
like an obsidian dagger,
something. Yeah, this legend has it. If you go to this cave and dig,
and if you're worthy,
the cave of wonders. But no, Dean says that's not right. The Striga is vulnerable when it's feeding, and if you catch her when she's eating the life force out of small children, you can kill her with consecrated wrought iron, buckshots or rounds. Now, this part made me laugh, because all up until this, he's been like, Striga, I don't know what that is, never heard of it, blah, 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 know, something, never, okay, I
now
don't know.
Now he's an expert.
Now, all of a sudden... And I think Sam picks up on it because he looks at him like, fucker, what? I've been doing all this research and you've been holding back on me, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so he looks slightly irritated that Dean knows something about this. And so...
I would be too.
He says, Sam says, oh yeah, Dad told me. And...
You mean Dean?
Or Dean says, oh yeah, Dad told me. I don't know if it's true or not. It's just what Dad said. And... Sam looks pretty irritated. So then he says, well, did he tell you anything else? No, he didn't tell me anything else.
Then they talk about how the Striga is usually...
a human disguise.
Yeah, like wearing a disguise or something. Like, it can disguise different kinds of humans. Dean has mapped out the locations of where the kids were sick. And decides that the hospital's in the middle. So he goes and he tells Sam about the old lady at the hospital. To which Sam is like,
an old lady at a hospital?
What?
Better call somebody about that. I don't know, Coast Guard or something. Which I thought was funny too. Smartass.
And then I was thinking, Dean is a smartass a lot of the time. But he can only deal it out. He can't take it. He's like,
wait, my role is a smartass, not you.
Yeah. You're just smart. Minus the ass.
I'm the ass.
So they decided to go see the old lady.
This part made
with
me
their
laugh
weapons
so hard, because I'm like, God damn, they're
wait,
just ready
before
to kill everybody.
Yeah, but before they even get into the room, they do a really obvious zoom in on the doctor.
Yes, they do. And then they do something that makes me laugh, because this is, like, common, so I get it why they did it, but I don't look at these guys as newbies. I don't look at Dean and Sam as guys who don't know how to hide in plain sight.
Right.
But when the doctor came walking by and they were like, oh shit, the doctor, they literally just turned around and stood right next to each other staring at the wall.
Yeah.
And looked so fucking obvious. Like, what, even if I didn't suspect anything, I'd be like, what the hell are these two guys doing?
Well, the doctor was going home, though. He doesn't care. He's
so
like,
I thought that was hilarious. But then when the doctor leaves and they get to the lady's door, they're just like, all right, pull out the gun,
right?
They're like, stand. I'm like, okay.
They're
you
not
know
even
what?
Sure it's her.
I know this was a while ago, but there were still video surveillance in hospitals. Someone's seeing these two fools standing outside, the, pulling guns out of their pants and shit. And then here they go,
I'm kind of blind old woman.
Freaking go in there and they're like, ready to kill her.
And she's like, who is that? Who the hell are you?
Oh man, this part with how close Dean gets. First of all, why?
I know.
What?
What? And that. Second of all, I didn't care because at this point I had the phone way away from me because I didn't know what she was going to do. And so I'm like watching it with one eye kind of squinted real far so that I can't see anything real sharp. I can't really see that good anyways. So I just thought it was crazy that they were like, yeah, let's kill her.
Well, I mean, they weren't though. They didn't kill her automatically. But they were ready.
Really looking like they're going to kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they didn't even have to pull their weapons out yet. Like, it was so unnecessary.
And then she's like, hey, who is that? What are you doing? Stealing my shit? And then he's like, no, we're housekeeping. I promise. And she's like, ah,
yeah,
bullshit.
Right.
No, you're not. And turn that cross around, too. And yes, ma'am.
How does she know the cross is upside down if she can't see?
She can feel it, okay? She can feel the evil.
So they go back to the hotel, and well, we go back to the hotel, right? And this is where the other kid gets.
I didn't go to the hotel.
Where the other kid gets got.
I was sitting in the comfort of my chair.
Asher was his name.
The little brother?
Uh-huh.
And it's sad because the little boy, Michael, says that it's all his fault.
Yeah, he says, it's my job to look after him. Which, and I this, mean, these, all these parents in this show are terrible, I guess.
I mean,
well, it's hard.
It is hard, because also,
even John Winchester, I don't like him, but he was a single dad.
Yeah.
Either way, he would have had to have left them sometimes.
And this mom seems like she's a single mom who's also trying to run
a business.
I don't know that for sure, but I didn't see a dad.
Yeah.
And so she's running the business and taking care of the kids. And now the little kid's sick. And like, I mean, obviously she's leaning heavy on the older kid. I mean, he's checking people into the hotel and stuff, taking care of his little brother. I don't think anybody would look at that and say it's an ideal situation. But you do have to survive. Like, you do have to do what you have to do. And it is unfortunate, and it does suck. But sometimes you do have to do that. And I promise you that she knows that, too.
Yeah.
Like, she's already beating herself
up. Like, John Winchester is an extreme, right? Like, right, he goes way too far with giving Dean responsibility. But I don't think this mom did. I think this mom... Yeah, I don't think she should have left that kid at the hotel by himself.
Right.
But she was also stressed out. And I'm not sure how old that kid was. He might have been,
I'm
like, 14, 15.
I don't know if they ever said, but for some reason I was thinking he was like 13. So, I don't know.
And leaving him at home alone might be okay if it wasn't such a stressful situation.
Leaving him to run a business.
Yeah.
Is a little much.
Yeah.
But I do. I do understand because I've been there. I know. But then also, when he said it was all his fault and that he should have taken care of his little brother, like, as the older sibling, you already feel that. Regardless of whether or not your parents put pressure on you to actually take care of your younger siblings, you already feel like you're the oldest, more experienced of a group, the group being brothers and sisters.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you already feel naturally, I think, like it's your job to look after the younger ones. To what degree, it just depends on each situation.
Yeah.
But I think that is something that you can't get away from.
Though, in my mind, I see this as similar to like blaming yourself for an abduction.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And if you're both asleep,
yeah,
right,
and it's a normal time,
right,
where you would be asleep and you're not supposed to be watching them, like, I understand survivor's guilt is a thing, right?
Right,
like,
right.
But logically...
But he doesn't know at this point. He just thinks he got sick.
Yeah. Logically, it doesn't make sense to blame yourself for not taking care of something when you were both asleep, and, you know?
And you can work through that. After you process the emotions,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like, immediately what's going to come up is, oh my gosh,
I failed. I should have done something.
Somehow
yeah.
I, blah, blah, blah. You
yeah.
know, I should have been awake. I should have heard something. I should have, whatever. But then, after processing all those emotions, hopefully, and not suppressing them, you can get to the point to where you're like, no, it's really just an unfortunate problem that happened, and it's
yeah.
not my fault. So Dean tells him it's not his fault, and then the mom comes out and is upset, and she drops her stuff, and she tells the little boy, put the no vacancy sign out, you're going to have to stay here and take care of stuff, and she's frazzled and crazy, and she drops her purse, and she's upset, and so then Dean says, you're in no condition to drive, let me drive you.
Which is creepy.
I yeah. know. I have so many torn feelings about this. Just him saying that one sentence, you're in no shape to drive, let me drive you. Like,
I mean,
first of all, he's a stranger. Don't get in
yeah.
a car with a stranger. Second of all, you're leaving your child there with these strangers.
Yeah.
Protect your child. Third of all, don't get in a car with a stranger. What are you doing? He could kidnap you, never be seen, and then you're leaving your son there with the other one, and he could kidnap him, too, and
yeah.
terrible things.
Yeah.
And also, then I'm offended because she's a woman, and he's saying, you're in no shape to drive because you're emotionally upset.
No, but I would probably be too emotional to drive if my child was in the hospital randomly, too.
Which I get, but I'm just saying, she is a
yeah,
woman,
yeah.
he is a man, he says, let me drive you, you're upset. Now, I can't help but think, oh, God, here we go. He's a man. He's taking charge of the woman. He's saying that she needs him because she's obviously emotional, sensitive, a mess. Let me come in with my white horse and ride you off into the sunset, which in this case just happens to be a hospital with your sick kid.
I don't see it that way.
But one could.
Obviously, you could.
So where were we?
Dean, okay, so they're leaving the hospital. I mean, they took the mom to the hospital, and I'm assuming, because they didn't show that part,
uh-huh.
but Sam is at the library again, which I love. He's always at the library. He's my research guy. He's the knowledge man. And then Dean's at the hospital on the phone with Sam. And Sam says that it started around, started there around the time that the dad was hunting it years ago. And then it strikes somewhere new every 15 to 20 years. And
that's a lot of dead kids.
That is a lot of dead kids.
How has nobody reported this sickness? Exactly,
and he said dozens at a time. Like, I was going to say, how is this not a better known thing? Like,
and isn't there a better way to know if it's pneumonia? Like, I'm not a doctor. I've never...
Well, yeah, that's what they were saying. Like, they were like, we thought it was pneumonia, but we don't know because it's not responding to antibiotics.
So, like, if this was happening every 15 to 20 years and it didn't like town,
the children's 15-year pneumonia plague or whatever.
And it's not necessarily the same town. It's just same.
And it's literally just
area.
An x-ray that can show you have pneumonia. Like, it's just, like, showing the fluid in the lungs. But it is a lot of kids, and it kills dozens of kids before it decides to move on to another place. And so Sam was able to trace it back to Black River Falls in the 1890s. And while they're on the phone,
he sees a picture.
He sees the picture. Of Heibacker.
Did you guys expect him at this point?
I didn't expect him to
I did because of that weird zoom.
I mean, they kind of give it away with the camera angles sometimes. But I didn't expect... This is what I thought. How could you identify somebody that you've only seen once or twice? Like, I'm not that good. Like, I'll but be like, observant. Hey, that looks like so-and-so. And they're I feel really like observant. I am really observant, too.
I think you would if this was your job.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could identify someone, like...
I think if it was your job, too, I think you could.
I might be like, whoa, that kind of looks like the doctor. And then that might make me think, I wonder if it's the doctor, because there he is. But I just thought that was weird. He was like, oh my god, it's the doctor, and then...
Well, because it makes sense, too. Like, yeah, it just does. Clicks into place.
So they decide, well, it's the doctor.
And then Dean gets off the phone, turns and sees the doctor, and it is dramatic.
Dun, dun, dun.
I am so bad at pretending to feel a way that I don't. That I would just have to say I was upset because of the kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would be, my face would show every amount of emotion.
That's.
And the doctor would be like, what the fuck?
And, what is wrong? And then he would be like, oh.
Yeah.
They must know something.
Uh-huh.
And then he would start putting shit together. Two guys, never seen him before, kind of shady. Bikini inspector for the CDC? I'm not so sure I'm buying that.
That sounded weird. I was going to let it slide, but...
What kind of diseases does a bikini inspector really need to investigate?
I don't want to know.
So, this part is the part where I was like... Well, let's get into it. They get in a discussion about what they have to do. And so that means that the Streganona's coming for Michael.
Yeah.
Because he already got the little kid, the little brother, and now its MO is it goes to the siblings.
Uh-huh.
So they determine that this is what's going to happen. And Dean wants to use the kid as bait. And Sam says, no way, you're insane. Dean kind of opens the portal to his mind a little bit and says, this is all my fault. Truth comes out. Flashback. Little Dean is responsible for leaving Sam in the motel room.
Play video games.
So he could go play some video games, which I thought was weird because he chose nighttime when... Sam's asleep.
Well, probably because he didn't want to take Sam.
Yeah.
Which I get, but oh my gosh, dangerous. What are you thinking?
And he didn't want to make Sam feel bad, like, no, I don't want you to come. But he wanted, like, alone time.
And then...
when he comes back.
Comes back and he sees the Striga is eating his brother's life force. Mm-hmm. And so
he picks up the gun.
He's so good too. He's just like so calm. Uh-huh. And like reaches down, grabs the gun, and I feel so bad because no kid should so easily have this ingrained in their mind, but he's survival Dean, so I get it. And pulls the gun up and is like gonna shoot the guy. Then his dad comes in behind him and is like, "Watch out, let me shoot the thing." And so Dean moves, Sam, or the dad shoots, and then
the Striga runs away.
Striga runs out and gets away, but no worries, Sam's okay.
But the dad is mad.
The dad's pissed and gives which, Dean a look like, what the hell?
I understand being mad at that time, but it sucks to be mad at the kid, you know, like, you're frustrated with the situation, I get it, but you're also putting too much expectation
way too much
on the
pressure
kid.
On like, the kid.
And I get it, because I've been in this situation too, as the kid, and as the adult, and I know that that's a traumatic experience, and anything that happens in that time is going to leave a deeper mark in your brain.
Uh-huh.
And so when the dad says, "Where I told you? You not to leave him, what were you doing?" Instantly you can just see where
all his issues,
everything comes from.
Yeah.
All
and
his
so
family stuff.
He blames himself for everything. He should have been there. He should have listened to his dad. He should have followed the orders.
He has to protect his
He's
family.
He's got to watch out for his little brother at all costs. Put him first, not yourself. So It all makes sense, and it's all clear now, and it just sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, so Sam is like, whoa, I get it, and I'm so sorry that happened. It's not your fault, but we can't use this kid as bait.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it as using the kid as bait.
No.
Because that thing's coming for the kid anyway.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or another kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you
and
just
by
because,
cooperating
exactly,
then you're able to kill it.
And I still see it as they are
protecting
the kid.
Yeah.
Because no matter where that kid is or what's going on, that thing's coming.
Yeah.
So you just put yourself in that situation to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, I don't see it as bait, but that's just me.
You disagree with Sam?
I do. I can understand how he thinks, like, to him, because he was like, no, we take him out and we protect him. I get that. But then how are you going to hunt the thing?
Yeah.
The goal is to get the thing.
Yeah.
And to not let kids
And you
die.
Know where it's going to be. And you know you can protect that kid.
And you know the only time it's vulnerable is when it's feeding.
And protecting that kid is putting another one in harm's way.
Yeah.
So you just go in and
make sure you kill it that time.
This part was crazy to me. They're like, you know what? We're just going to go tell Michael what's going on. And I was like, hold on. There's got to be a better way. Because this is just really going to mess this kid up.
Well, you know why I think they did it is because Dean relates to him so much.
He's like, he can handle it.
Yeah. I really think that's where Dean was coming from. He's like, you know what? I know this kid. This kid is me.
We're just going to level with
him. He would
want
the truth.
It's fine.
And he'll do the right thing. I just know it.
I just thought this part, number one, dangerous for the kid's mind. Number two, it's risky as hell. Because the kid could be like, you're fucking crazy. Get out of my house.
Think of it this way, though. What would be worse? Not knowing what's going to happen. Or having a little heads up.
Yeah. In that situation.
I think for the kid, it would be less scarring to know ahead of time.
And safer
and to know,
because they're going to be shooting and stuff.
Yeah. And they know, the kid would know, oh, people are watching, people are going to help me.
Uh-huh.
Whereas if he didn't get told, he would think he was all alone. And he would think nobody was coming to help.
Also, I have a question about this. What if, you know, a lot of them, like, there have been several episodes now where they rely on people to kind of keep this untold secret kind of thing, like, let them into the world of what they do, kind of, even without, like...
telling them everything.
And, yeah. What if that person didn't? What if that person was, like... So, like, say at the end of this, what if the kid would have been, like... They came to me, there was a monster, they killed... What would happen?
I mean, people would probably think the kid was crazy.
Yeah.
Or would they think the guys are crazy?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Would they throw the kid under the bus and be like, we have no idea what the hell he's talking about? Well, they don't
even stay around for that.
Yeah, they leave.
They're gone.
But I mean, like, what if the kid was like, Mom, it's crazy. These two guys, they came in, they had guns. And she's like, what? What do you mean?
They've escaped from cops and shit before. Like, they wouldn't have...
They gonna kill the mom?
No. They're just gonna go away.
Put her in the laundry chute at the hospital.
She's gonna go where that first mom is.
Wherever that is, that's where she, that's what happened to that one. She questioned it.
But then I liked when they were talking to the kid and he was like, oh yeah, I saw something but I thought it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then Dean says, sometimes nightmares are real. And I was like,
I wrote that down.
That's good.
Because it was such a powerful... Man, you know what? I'm not a huge Dean fan, but once in a while, he has, like, the best
line
quotes. Yeah. And it's like...
It's I don't know why you don't like Dean.
It's so powerful.
He's gross sometimes.
He's so powerful because he... It doesn't feel cheesy or fake or anything. Like,
which is weird.
Because, like, listen to this line.
Yeah.
I'd give anything not to tell you this, kid. But sometimes nightmares are real. That's literally the cheesiest line ever. But for some reason...
Jensen Ackles is just so good.
There's no cheesiness when it comes from him. You buy it and you feel it and you're like, man, I know that might sound cheesy coming from someone else, but from him it's like... Yeah. It's truth. It's real. It's like, gritty. Oh,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're so right.
And it's such a good quote. Mm-hmm. It is such a good quote because it's like, this is where you grow up, kid.
Yep.
No, I wish you didn't have to, but...
We all have those moments.
Yeah. And then it's like that intense moment and that great quote. And then the next scene... Well, that went crazy. Yeah. And the kid, like, told him, no, I'm not doing this. Get out. Yeah. And then they're like, now what do we do? Like, I just love the part. Well, that went crappy. But it's so realistic because the kid's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not doing this. And then the kid shows up at the door.
Fooled ya.
And is like, okay, for my little brother. Let's do it.
And they say they don't even know if he'll get better.
Can't make any promises.
Yeah, and the kid's still like, all right.
Well, I think it's because the best
at that point, what else are you going to do?
And even if he doesn't get better, others will die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of notes on this part, but I do have a whole lot of opinions. So...
So they go and set up the camera, and Sam, like, kind of apologizes to Dean for, like, giving him a hard time, I guess, lately.
Uh-huh.
And he says that he understands why he follows his dad's orders. And
kind of gives him a little grace here. Like, he kind of understands. He's like, okay, listen, I know I give you a lot of shit, and I didn't really understand the whole deal of it.
But now I get that you're pretty fucked up.
And it's kind of my fault, and I understand it's kind of Dad's fault.
Yeah.
Like, you were, like, responsible for me, and thanks, and...
And then Dean goes, oh God, kill me now.
Yeah, that's you.
Ooh, that's me.
Yeah. That is you, 100%.
Anytime feelings are involved, I'm out.
It's true.
And then, so they get the camera all set up and they're ready to go. And the kid's like, okay, what do I do? And they're like, you just go to sleep. Just lay there in the bed, covered up. And
when we come in with guns, roll under the bed.
And yeah. He's kind of nervous. He's like, don't shoot me. What if you shoot me? And so they're like, and Dean's like reassuring. And he's like, we're Dean not going to so shoot you. Dean is so good
with kids.
He is good with kids. And
so weird.
No, it's not weird to me because that's like how you heal yourself, you know? Like his inner child is traumatized and like hurting and wounded. And so he identifies with the kids because it's like helping him come to terms with his trauma as a child.
He's like giving the help he wished he had
exactly.
gotten.
And in doing that, it heals what he never got. I get it. I see you.
I get it, but it's still, like,
surprising not what you would expect. For you.
Yeah.
I think because it takes a choice. Like, you can go either way.
Yeah.
Like, you can choose to be hardcore and be like, suck it up, Buttercup. Uh-huh. Like, this is what we have to do. Tough shit, kid. Don't piss and whine about
it. That's John Winchester.
Or you can be like, no, listen, we can do this a different way.
Yeah.
And so this whole time, the kid's like, seems like he's really genuinely terrified of getting shot.
Yeah.
And so Dean takes a little time to, like, you know, have you ever heard a gunshot? Have you, you know, he's like putting some thought and care into it. And he tells the kid. Which,
let me tell you, he says it right here. They're loud. They shoot guns so many times in this episode. Nobody hears it.
Yeah, nobody, and it's at a hotel.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say about the initial, like, in a few minutes when we get to that part. That is insane to me, the amount of gunshots that went. And I was like, oh, okay, and no one, oh, okay,
no everybody's just like. No one or anything.
Whatever.
Not to mention that they were getting thrown around and shit, too.
Like, yeah.
And
I think a door broke. But nah, nobody heard it.
And then, so they reassure little Michael and tell him that they're watching and they'll be there and all these safety measures, are in place to protect him. And then I'm just like, my God, this is so troubling. Like, this is trauma.
And then that kid has to sit there and wait.
Yes.
The whole time.
And he doesn't have anybody in there with him.
Yeah. No one's in there. He knows something bad's coming.
Yeah.
It's the monster that tried to kill his brother, and now it's coming for
and
him.
I'm sorry. You know someone's watching. It doesn't help.
No.
It doesn't help at all.
No, because shit happens all the time. Like,
what if they went to the bathroom?
What if they fell asleep?
What if it got them first?
What if this is all bullshit? This is what I would be thinking. What if this is all bullshit? And they're working with the monster.
I would think that
and
too.
They're trying to trick me and then just quietly going with the monster. And they're not really going to save me.
Yeah.
And I would be terrified. Like, I would think it was all some kind of awful trick. And so I was just like, man, this poor kid. It's kind of messed up because nobody makes sure that he gets the therapy that he needs.
Yeah, they should have also told the mom, honestly.
Yeah, they're like, well,
at least after.
Your brother's safe. You're good, kid.
You'll get
gotta
over
go.
It.
Thanks for your help.
They don't even, like, leave a phone number for him to call if he's freaked out.
Good
or
luck with that PTSD.
I mean,
you
they
got.
Might. We don't know. We don't see.
Yeah, but I doubt it.
Yeah. So then the Striga comes in.
Ready to suck souls.
Mm-hmm. And Sam's like, okay, let's go. And Dean's like, no, not yet.
We have
not
to wait.
Wait for it.
And then they go.
And then I thought there was going to be a problem because there was like a glitch in the camera. Did you see it?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, get in there. Like, this is my anxiety now. Oh my God, get in there. The Strega can control the videotape somehow.
I was thinking that too.
And he's gonna make it look like he's not doing anything, and he's gonna get the kid. The kid! Get the kid!
But then it ended up just being a glitch.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, that didn't go.
Yeah.
That didn't go where I thought it was going.
And the kid rolls under the bed.
And then all the shots.
Shot, 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 shot.
Different kind of shots. Pew, pew, pew,
not
pew, 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 pew.
Shot.
Well, they threw away a lot of shots.
And then...
So many shots.
And then Michael rolls under the bed, and he's safe, and the shoots are shooting, and the shots are shotting. And there's some tense moments here where I was like, huh? Oh, no.
And they think it's dead.
But then it's not. But then it is.
And then it beats up everybody, and it grabs Dean, and it grabs Sam, and it throws one, and it throws the other, and...
Starts sucking out the life of Sam.
And Dean's like... In a weird
sense of deja vu.
Dean's like, not again, fucker.
Not my little brother.
Nope.
And he shoots him right in the head.
That wasn't a shoot. That was a cat.
I don't know if they heard it.
Yeah, probably not.
It was a sneeze.
Cat sneeze.
And then, once it's dead, he shoots it a few more times, just for good measure.
I mean, I think that's a good idea.
In case anyone hasn't heard the shots so far.
Here's a few more for you. In case anyone's still asleep.
I have in all caps right here. Nobody hears the guns?
Oh, yeah, that's the kind of stuff, like I said earlier, where, how did they know the address? You just have to accept the
And then not to mention, shit. Like, all the shit that's ruined in the boys' room.
Right. And the gun case, like, the...
The mom's just gonna be like, oh, he had, like, a fit of rage because his brother was sick.
And there's weird bullet casings everywhere, and...
They might have cleaned, we don't know. But, yeah. And then... Michael comes out from under the bed. They're all good. And then it shows the mom coming home from the hospital.
And Asher's fine, and all the other kids are fine.
And the brother is gonna go visit Asher with the mom. And Sam and Dean are heading out. They say Dr. Heidecker is sick or something.
Yeah, now there's a new doctor. Weird, I don't know. And then this part. Sam says that it's too bad now that Michael will know that there are things out there in the dark and he'll never be the same. And that sometimes he wishes that he could have that kind of innocence. And again, Dean, with all the good quotes! Mm-hmm. All the good quotes in this episode! Shout out to you, my friend! Says, if it means anything, sometimes I wish you could too. And I get this because, like, at first I was struck by, like, he's agreeing with them, but he's not agreeing with them for himself. He's agreeing with him for his brother to feel that way.
Yeah.
And that, again, just plays to the protection mode that he's in because he doesn't want to feel that way. He's the protector.
Have you been doing that the whole time?
Maybe. Yeah.
It's probably messed up.
No.
It's probably messed up. I'm just letting you know.
Should we listen to it?
We can finish.
But he doesn't want that for himself. He wants that for his little brother because he still wants to protect. So that sucks. But also, he wouldn't have it any other way, so.
Yeah. So, anything else on that?
No.
Okay, favorite characters. Mine was Michael.
Michael was good.
Yeah.
I like Michael. Not that creepy kid.
Michael was good. Creepy old lady was great. So, shout out to her. But I'm going with Dean because he had all the good.
Yeah, I was going to say either Michael quotes, or Dean.
Like, yeah, I just like Michael this one. I pick Dean a lot. I'm going with Michael.
I hardly ever pick Dean, but I can't deny him in this episode because
It was just done so well.
It was. It was good.
Okay, favorite quotes.
Oh.
Mine is the two queens.
That was a good one. That was a really good one.
But I just like their response to it, too. They just kind of shrug it off, like, whatever. Like, okay, he's just a kid making jokes.
Mine's hard to choose between, there's another one. Dean said it. I don't know. So I'm going to go with, I'd give anything not to tell you this, but sometimes nightmares are real.
Yeah. Mine was between that one or the, oh God, kill me now.
Yeah, see, I didn't like that one, but there was another one. I think it was the one where he was like, I'm the oldest, so I'm always right. Yeah, which is pretty good, too, because I'm the oldest. But
whatever.
When I think of a favorite quote, I think of something that I would look at, like, on a bumper sticker, on exactly, a t-shirt, yeah, like, on a something.
I just think of, like, what made me laugh or surprised me the most in the episode.
Yeah.
So.
If you want to reach out to us on social media, we're on Instagram at spn.the.family.business.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next week for Season 1, Episode 19, Provenance, where we'll be watching stuff.
Saying things.
The family business.